Capital City Fire and Rescue and Alaska State Troopers yesterday helped two hikers get off of the West Glacier Trail, including a Florida woman with a broken leg. Trooper Sergeant Tim Burt says a 27-year-old woman fell on slippery rocks. Burt says she called a friend, who in turn called state troopers and the Juneau Fire Department. A rope team, as well as a state trooper and boat crews, coordinated her rescue from an area across Mendenhall Lake from the Glacier Visitor Center. The woman was treated at the scene and then loaded onto a helicopter.
Once she was contacted, it was determined that rocks were too hazardous, too slippery due to the rainfall that we've had, so we chartered a Timsco helicopter to go in, pick her up, and transport her over to the trailhead parking lot of the West Glacier Trail, where she was turned over to an EMS crew.
Burt says at the same time, a 50-year-old man reported that he was lost somewhere off the West Glacier Trail.
Troopers had contact with him via his cell phone and directed him to respond towards the water on the lake so they could find him with the riverboat. While he was doing that, he came across the trail and then started hiking out and got back to the parking lot at the same time, coincidentally, as the helicopter was delivering the woman with the broken leg.
The injured hiker was identified as Kristen Walling of Florida. She was taken by ambulance to Bartlett Regional Hospital. The lost hiker was Scott Feimeyer of British Columbia. He reported no injuries. Burt says both hikers were visiting Juneau as tourists. A National Transportation Safety Board investigator says a pilot was killed when a helicopter crashed near Delta Junction. The pilot was the only person on board. NTSB investigator Clint Johnson says a single-engine helicopter went down about 5 o'clock yesterday. Johnson says Alaska State Troopers responded, and Johnson and another NTSB investigator plan to travel to the site today. A Wasilla man died when his motorcycle collided with a moose on a road. Troopers responded yesterday afternoon to the crash site north of Anchorage. Troopers say that 36-year-old Michael Carlisle was thrown several hundred feet and died at the scene. The moose also died. This is the third moose motorcycle collision and the second such fatality on Alaska roads in less than a month. The parent company of the Kensington Mine near Juneau reports strong second-quarter sales and production figures. Coeur d'Alene Mines produced about 4.9 million ounces of silver and more than 63,000 ounces of gold during the three-month period that ended June 30th. That translates to more than $254 million in sales. On a conference call for investors yesterday, Senior Vice President of Operations Randy Buffington said Kensington gold production nearly tripled from the first quarter to more than 21,500 ounces. He says recently completed infrastructure improvements at the Burners Bay mine led to a 50% reduction in operating costs to $1,348 per ounce of gold produced.
We remain focused on achieving sustainable production levels at Kensington and expect cash operating costs per ounce to decline further to $900 per gold ounce by the end of the year.
Coeur d'Alene Mines continues to look for new deposits at Kensington. Miners conducted nearly 15,000 feet of core drilling during the second quarter, and most of it was in an area called Raven, located about 2,000 feet west of the main ore body. Additional exploration drilling took place in an area called Kensington South. The company also conducted a helicopter-borne geophysical survey to identify future drill targets. Coeur d'Alene's other mines and assets are located in Mexico, Bolivia, Argentina, Australia, and Nevada. A new round of federal grants announced by Alaska's congressional delegation yesterday includes over $21,000 from the U.S. Justice Department to the city and borough of Juneau. Police spokesperson Cindy Brown Mills says the police department has received the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant for the past 3 years. This year, Brown Mills says it will pay for equipment such as new rain jackets for patrol officers. It will also pay for a software and hardware upgrade to the department's bomb defusing robot. In previous years, the grant was used to partially fund the Juneau Police Department's crisis intervention specialist, a social worker who worked with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. Officials from 10 federal agencies will meet this week with tribal leaders from northern southeast Alaska. They'll discuss federal housing, nutrition, economic development, utility, and other programs available to tribal governments and nonprofit groups. Department of Agriculture Rural Development spokesman Larry Urich says it's one in a series of regional tribal collaboration gatherings.
We want to just say, here's the main stuff that we have available, but we're certainly open to hearing what your questions are. And that's the difference, I would think, between this kind of meeting and rulemaking, which is much more rigid.
Tomorrow's meeting runs from 8:30 to 5 o'clock at the Tlingit and Haida Vocational Training and Resource Center. It's part of an Obama administration directive for agencies to work with Native organizations. The meeting is in person and will not include participants through a teleconference. Urich says much of the discussion will be about funding.
Any of the federal partners who are participating in this project, we all have a variety of loan and grant programs. And we all have services that could be of interest to the people who are attending.
Tomorrow's meeting is for Southeast tribal officials from Sitka or to the north. Southern Southeast had its own meeting in early May in Ketchikan. Bethel, Nome, and Taslina near Glen Allen have had similar events. Urich says more events are planned. And we have more information about that and other tribal collaboration meetings on our website at ktoonews.org. Federal agriculture officials say grants totaling more than $410,000 have been awarded to four Native villages and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. The rural development grants announced yesterday were from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Village recipients are Silowik, Scammon Bay, Kipnick, and Tanacross. They'll be used for a variety of projects, including improvements to Kipnick's honey bucket hauling system and the purchase of equipment for construction of a new landfill in Silowik. There's one last push to raise funds for a film about suicide in Alaska. Producers are working to meet an August 23rd deadline to raise about $15,000. Jacqueline Estes has more.
Producers say their documentary will tell the stories of people affected by and working to prevent suicide. Executive producer Yvonne Peter, who runs a Fairbanks-based wellness and leadership consulting firm, says the film's working title is We Breathe Again, to bring to mind the Athabascan belief that one's breath is related to a person's soul or spirit, and also the idea of someone taking a deep breath after struggling underwater. He says one of the goals of the film is to bring hope into the bleak picture of a state with a suicide rate six times the national average.
There's so many good things that are also happening. There's so many helpful insights and people who are stepping up to help prevent suicide from continuing to occur and continue to be such a major problem within our community, and had the vision emerge of really wanting to be able to share that through the form of media.
Yvonne Peter says the film will track the day-to-day lives of Yupik, Inupiaq, Athabascan, and other Alaska Native people. He says the film includes individuals from the young to the old living in urban areas, villages, and regional hubs.
It's going to be an opportunity for us to kind of immerse into the culture and experience of these individuals and kind of learn what it's like to be an Alaska Native person today. The context, the situations that we're facing, and how it is that we're working to overcome some of the harder challenges that we face in our lives.
Peter says although the focus is on Alaska Natives, the film will communicate ideas that apply to all.
We feel like some of the themes that are emerging as we're doing the production on this film are relevant globally to humanity, because I think that suicide is not a problem that's just isolated to the Alaska Native community. It's impacting all Alaskans and all people nationally and globally right now. And I think that some of the insights and reflections that are being shared on film are going to be helpful and a contribution to people even beyond the Alaska Native community.
The producers of We Breathe Again hope to raise $15,000 through the internet fundraising platform Kickstarter.com for expenses not covered by a grant they've received. The way Kickstarter works, the project will be funded only if at least $15,000 is pledged by Thursday, August 23rd. So far, donations total $3,500. In Anchorage, I'm Jacqueline Estes.